When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Right, Payne and Pendergast, this was the play that turned the game last night. This was the one where we could finally breathe a little bit because the Texans took a 17-point lead in the second half, deep into the third. This might have been in the fourth quarter, actually. This was a play where Derek Barnett forced a fumble and then recovered a fumble that somebody else forced later on in the play.
Second and 6 for Dallas from their 40. Cooper Rush with Dowdle to his left. Bunch formation right after motion. Rush in trouble. Strip sack. Who's got it? It's still loose. Texans pick it up. Here's Barnett on the run. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Scoop, score, Derek Barnett.
Tyler Guyton, thank you very, very much.
Okay, Tyler Guyton, for those who don't know, Tyler Guyton is the rookie left tackle for the Dallas Cowboys who scooped up that fumble and then got into kind of a Titus Howard frame of mind and said, I'm going to go make a play
you know what? We might have to get some Mike McCarthy audio for tomorrow because I saw the quote. Mike McCarthy explained afterwards, no, we do not train our offensive linemen to try to run with the ball. When they recover a fumble, they're supposed to go down to the earth, where the earth is safer than Jalen Petrie flying in like a missile.
Dude.
Yeah,
Petrie. We got to give Petrie his love. And that scrum there, man, like Petrie's the one. Barnett started it and finished it, but that thing doesn't happen. That whole sequence doesn't happen without Petrie just doing what he was doing all night, which was reckless abandon.
Looking at that from a Cowboys perspective, too, that feels like a butt fumble type of moment where, you can't do anything right. You know, like, oh, even when, oh, hey, look at that. Hey, strip sack, but hey, look at that. We recovered the fumble. Oh, no, we didn't. We fumbled it again. That's a rough one there. I feel just awful for him.
I do too.
It's just how awful that franchise is.
Devastating
is
a good word. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Hey, quick reminder, we're going to be giving away Texans tickets sometime in this segment, so stay tuned right here for a chance to win bullpen seats, front row in the bullpen, at the end zone, along the end zone, along the north end zone for the Texans and the Titans on Sunday. Here was C.J. Stroud after last night's game on that Derek Barnett scoop and score.
He scared me. I don't know why he did that with the ball. Like, he could have just ran in, but, man, DB's a dog, bro. Like, when we got him last year, he showed his worth, and now he's just, you know, putting more on him. There's a lot of plays that guys don't see, but he's taking on, you know, those pulling guards and sending them back, making plays for his backers to be free. I thought Mario played well, Daniil, Danico, like, that whole D-line, bro. But, you know, DB got some wheels, though. You know, I respect it for sure.
You know what? CJ talking about Derek Barnett taking on pulling guards.
Yeah.
I like that because in my mind I realize, okay, yeah, you know what? D'Amico probably does what a lot of coaches do, and I've heard him talk about it. I just don't know how exactly he does it. But you cup together the highlight reels and the teaching reels and we'll, like, highlight the good things that happen. And a lot of times it's cool in those moments when you're in the team meeting and the coach is showing the offense stuff that they might not normally see. And a lot of times it's the stuff that doesn't show up on the stat sheet. That's cool. Like, it's the kind of stuff that D'Amico's good at, you know? Cause, like, taking on a pulling guard, you don't usually make the tackle yourself or anything, but it's huge. It makes the play. It causes the TFL for somebody else. That defensive line is starting to operate in a very veteran fashion, with a lot of that smaller stuff. But then when it comes to actually making plays at the quarterback and just getting your hand on the arm or on the ball, we've really started to see that pick up the last few weeks.
Yeah, well, we saw Danico Autry last week against Jared Goff, and we saw Derek Barnett. I think that's the cool thing about it too, Seth, is just think of the two names I just rattled off there. Neither of them are Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, who both have had tremendous seasons so far, but that you're getting it from Danico Autry, that you're getting it from Derek Barnett, a guy that, as CJ just pointed out, you know, you picked him up off the waiver wire last year from the Eagles, and he's been tremendous for you for a year
now. I'll tell you what, there was something – I love these new uniforms. I love all of them. There is something about the numbers that's a little bit hard to decipher sometimes. Last week especially, because he had dark numbers on a dark jersey.
Yeah.
last night, they've got white numbers, but there's just still something a little bit hard to identify. And so I fall into that with Derek Barnett and Danico Autry. I've confused them a couple times.
95 and 96, yeah.
And I'm usually pointing out something positive that one of them did, but they're enough of the same size and everything, and they're like both more fluidly athletically than you expect them to be. So apologies for misplacing some of the compliments I've given to one and not the other. I haven't like criticized one of them inaccurately.
Do you like that combo they wore last night? The dark on dark right there?
I do really like it. I don't know. I thought it was just the colors last week, but there's something about the numbers where it's hard to it's hard to read the numbers on TV.
Yeah, well, the font is weird on the numbers too. It's not a conventional font. It's a lot of teams are using it. My big uniform takeaway from the first 11 games of the season so far, I don't think they should wear any that is mixing the jersey with a different color of pants. I like the full...
You like the monochrome.
The head to toe. Yeah, monochrome. Yeah. I like, of all the... Like the conventional white on white, the conventional deep steel blue, or whatever this blue is on deep steel.
No, yeah.
Blue. And then the color rush, the alternative uniforms are inherently that from head
to
toe.
Right, right. No, yeah, that's one thing. With these, like for whatever reason, that's just... I dropped out of fashion school. There's something about the design of these uniforms. They just look way better monochromatic than with the mix and match. But I love them, and I love the way they look. And honestly, like those, I mean, because it looks like they're out there in black uniforms. Yeah. That blue is so dark. But it's kind of like Petrie looks scary as hell out there in what looks like a black uniform. So it just almost, and he's so much smaller than so many of the guys he's running around. And then he comes up and hits people. It looks like there's a scary little stealth missile out there.
Yes. Yeah, dude, they've got to be moving so much of the alternate, the H-Town blue gear.
Yeah.
I'm talking even like the hats that have the logo that it's the Texans logo, but it's like outlined in the H-Town blue. You know, it's the darker blue hat. When Amy and I were at the Golden Nugget a couple weeks ago, you know, the Golden Nugget, when you go there, it's 80% Houston people. And I think I'm being conservative. Like, it's almost all Houston people at the Golden Nugget Casino. And we went there the weekend of the Jets game. You know, you and I did the Jets game on Thursday night. And then, so we had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, once we were done with the show on Friday, to ourselves. No game on Sunday. So Amy and I went to the Nugget. There was so much Texans H-Town blue gear between the jerseys, like C.J. Stroud jerseys, Will Anderson jerseys, the hats and the pullovers. Like, it's at least there, because we go there quite a bit. It's, for now, it's replaced Astros gear as the most prevalent Houston sports gear from what I've seen. In places it should be fairly neutral. You know, it's not like I'm going to a Texans game saying, well, there sure is a lot of Texans gear here and not any Astros gear. That is a place that was just flush with all Astros stuff when you would go there, understandably, the last few years. And, man, there's a lot of Texans stuff there. And, man, is 95% of it the one that has the H-Town blue in it?
Yeah, and, like, that's why, and I've never once, like, getting into, people try to lure you into a debate about, is Houston a football town or a baseball town? Because... Yeah, look, I've been here long enough. It's gonna change, you know? Like, but when the Astros were at the peak of their dominance, people would try to lure into you, cause you're like, look, we're the Texans flagship and everything. You're like, oh, you think Houston's a football town, do you? And I'd be like, no, I don't. Good, fine, you win this argument. But but eventually it'll change, you know? And then it'll change back again.
Yeah, and admittedly, look, it's football season and the Astros aren't playing right now. You know, nor were they playing 2 weeks ago when they, we're used to them playing in late October. They were not. So there's that. My overall point is these new uniforms are a massive merchandising success.
Oh, yeah. Now, they're awesome. The only thing, and I'm trying to figure out whether I'll get used to the numbers or if maybe – I know they can't – like, it's a long process to change uniforms, and you're only allowed to do it so every so now and then. Could they change the fonts at least? You're allowed to tweak it, right? It's just the colors and all that other stuff.
The biggest change I would want to make would be – to see if you can get what are now the alternate uniforms to allow the league to let you use those more than just three times a year. You know, like,
read the room a little bit and kind of feel
so
for like, okay.
Good. Yeah, those are such good uniforms that it's a shame that you only get to wear, and we're talking like the Color Rush blue with the H-Town blue in it and the Battle Red head to toe. combined, you're only allowed to wear those for three games the whole year.
No, plus there is something, man, and it's not even superstition. It's more just positive association. There's something about if you have a huge victory in the regular season, maybe you beat a team that you haven't beaten in forever or whatever, it's a big moment. There's something about the attachment you get to that uniform for the crowd and everything. I feel it fuels you when you see it again. And I would like that. Like those uniforms pop back up in the playoffs. I like that.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great. I don't know that they're allowed to wear them in the postseason, but that would be badass if they could.
Oh, I'm sure they're not.
Yeah, I'm sure that, yeah.
You have to, Sean, to have fun in the NFL, you got to be sure you have to file 9 petitions.
Yes.
You have to get Congress to clear it with a 70% majority. Yep. And then,
Yep. Hey, let's give away some Texans tickets. Whatever jersey you decide to wear this weekend, maybe you can be wearing it at the Texans game. It's a Texans ticket Tuesday giveaway. Call now, 713-572-4610. Caller number 5 wins a pair of seats in the bullpen for Sunday's game against the Titans. Be listening in the 5 o'clock hour for another shot during the drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's a Texans ticket Tuesday. Call now, 713-572-4610. Up next, what did we learn from last night's game? The biggest things that we take away and learn from last night's 34-10 win over the Cowboys, that is next. But first,